Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for joining us this evening. How many of you have been here for some of the Kirtan programs of the Kirtan 50? Good. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the devotional creeper, the bhakti-like beach, to Srila Rupa Goswami. And he says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagya Vanaji, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Vata Beach. The living entity, Brahmanda Brahmite, the living entity is wandering through so many different universes and planetary systems with so many different species of life. But one who is fortunate by the grace of Guru and Krishna gets the seed of devotional service. And basically, until Srila Prabhupada came to America, and then from America to every major continent in the world, yet the Bhakti Rata Beach was not known outside India. And the next verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Malahana, one should become a gardener and plant that seed within one's heart and water the seed by chanting and hearing about Krishna. And then he says that in the process of watering, unwanted creepers may grow like weeds. And Lord Chaitanya says that one has to be very careful to distinguish between the weeds and the bhakti lata. Otherwise, the weeds can suck up the water that's meant for the devotional creeper. And then he explains what those weeds are. And those weeds are basically material desires, desires for mukti, impersonal liberation, or bhukti, material enjoyment. And then he says that those weeds are innumerable, but still he enumerated a few of the important ones, like love of puja and pratishta. That means desire for material profit, adoration and distinction. So when we chant the holy name, we should do so with the desire to please Krishna and to purify our consciousness. And in that process, we will naturally feel pleasure. I mean, our natural position is to give Krishna pleasure, and when we do, then we also feel pleasure. So, we want to be very careful that our chanting is really meant to purify our hearts and please Krishna, and not for any personal material benefit. And then Lord Chaitanya says that there's another danger to the Bhakti Lata beach, or to the Bhakti Lata, and that is the Hati Mata, the mad elephant. You can carefully cultivate your garden, and it can be flourishing. But if a maddened elephant comes into your garden, he can create havoc. He can destroy everything that you've built up in moments. And that mad elephant is the offense, Vaishnava Aparadhi, offending Vaishnavas, especially advanced Vaishnavas. And so one has to protect one's garden from that mad elephant. And what is the protection? You have to build a fence around your garden. And what's the fence? The fence is the circle of pure devotees. You need to stay in the circle of pure devotees, and they will protect you from that mad elephant of offense. So, although chanting is by nature very blissful, I mean, it's musical. People like to sing, people like to dance. But there's also a science to it. And if we're aware of that science, we can do it in a better way, and in a way that will last for a longer time, eternally. Because Lord Chaitanya says that devotional creeper will grow and grow and grow if it's protected. And it will pierce the coverings of the universe. And it will take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And it will bear the fruit, nectarian fruit of pure love of God. But even then, the watering process continues. That means even after we're liberated and have realized Krishna and love for Krishna, even then we continue our chanting and hearing. So, it's a great science. And Srila Prabhupada, he brought not only the holy name of Krishna, but the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, I shouldn't say he brought them, I mean, he certainly brought the knowledge within him, but he labored to actually give us translations of these books. He would hardly sleep at night. Generally, he might go to sleep at 10, and then he would wake up at 12, just after 2 hours of sleep. And he would translate these books so we could have them for our guidance and spiritual nourishment. So we should take advantage of these books and read them and apply them in our lives. And then, you know, we'll really be very well equipped to progress in spiritual life and to navigate the waves of the material world. Because we are in the material world and we have it's like the ocean of material existence. There's always waves. Sometimes the waves bring us up, sometimes the waves overwhelm us and we go under. So all this information is there in Srila Prabhupada's books, and it can be realized by reading and applying and applying these chanting and serving. So I thought it important to discuss this because so many of you have been chanting. And we want to really get the full benefit of it and also share the bliss with others and share the knowledge with others. So this is just a sort of philosophical introduction. And now I would like to ask His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami to further enlighten us.
Om Agyanaya Dhanandasyagaram Dhanashakaya Shur Kundalikam Dhanastasmaya Sri Vrindavan Maha. So Maharaj was speaking about the science of chanting. Chanting is not something mechanical. As Srila Prabhupada explained to us in his introducing the world, the devotees to chanting, the process of chanting, he said this is not some mental process, intellectual process. It's a transcendental process, which means it descends and connects us to Krishna, the transcendence. And that science was spoken about by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dhana. Krishna A Nama, Bhakti A Krishna Nama, Smarane Kanda. That Bhakti Yoga has three different phases, which is called Sambandha, Abhideya, and if we mention it three times, and Prayojana, meaning the introduction where we connect with Krishna in the form of His name, and then we chant His name regularly as a service, as an offering to Krishna, and then when we're connected with Krishna and we're chanting to please Krishna, then we get the goal, the end result, where Krishna fills our life and our heart with transcendental knowledge and love. So that first phase, sambandha, or connecting with Krishna, Lord Chaitanya gave five verses that indicate how do we connect. You should understand that the holy name cleanses the heart like a mirror, and then cleanses away not only what's on the mirror, but the what has caused that impurity to manifest. And then, once that happens, then the blessings of the Holy Name begin to descend upon us. And it expands and expands until we feel connected with the Holy Name. Just like a wife or a husband, you know, very connected family. And we realize that this is what I've been looking for at every step of my life. This is the glory of the Holy Name. And the Holy Name has unlimited manifestations. There are many unlimited Holy Names, each one possessing unlimited power, unlimited potency. But Lord Chaitanya, representing us, he says, there's only one problem. I have no attraction. This is my problem. So, what do I do about that problem? Well, four things, four cardinal rules that I must develop: humility, I must develop tolerance. Humility means I must always see Krishna as supreme. And tolerance means if I accept Krishna as supreme, achutta, infallible, then everything that's happening in my life has a purpose. And understanding that that purpose is not something that I create, but something that is bringing me closer to Krishna, I tolerate, I accept. And then I should see Krishna within everyone. Krishna's within everyone, within everything. And therefore, I have great respect. But as Maharaj mentioned, the danger is if I desire more, that people should respect me. So if I follow these four things, and then how do I recognize them practically? Well, I should give up the desire for unnecessary wealth, unnecessary things, for recognition in this world, and for too much absorption in the opposite sex, or too much absorption in activities that simply are meant to please the senses. The senses are meant to nourish the body and keep the body and the soul in a healthy connection, but they're not meant to be abused. And doing these things and understanding that the real purpose of life is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. Then, when that understanding fully matures, I understand that I'm an insignificant spiritual being, and my utmost desire is to be situated at the lotus feet of Krishna as a servant. So this is sambandha. This is connecting ourselves with Krishna. We come to that point where I'm connected to Krishna as his insignificant servant. And then the Holy Name gives us the opportunity to really feel its effect, that to the point where we actually cry, you know, bhakti a Krishna nam smarane kanda, that actually the most effective chanting is done, Srila Prabhupada said many times, when one cries out to Krishna through the Holy Name like a child crying for its mother. We have many mothers here, right? How many mothers are here? Many mothers, so you know what that's like. Fathers also know what that's like, but they're not usually as attentive as the mothers. The fathers are more 9 to 5, and the mothers are 24 hours of attention. So Krishna, if we do that, then we cry, Krishna, and we feel the effect of the Holy Name. And then it becomes, the bond becomes so strong that we feel like even not chanting, not being connected with Krishna for a moment is like an infinity. And then we come to the final stage, which is characterized. How do we know when we're at that stage and we're actually really connected with Krishna, really connected with His holy name? When it doesn't matter what happens in my life, whether I'm happy, whether things go right, things go wrong, but whatever happens, Krishna is my unconditional Lord. Otherwise, my purpose in life is to serve Him, to please Him, and to do His will, His desire. So this is how Lord Chaitanya explained the science of the holy name. Of course, if anyone chants, like many of you may be beginning to chant, I'm also beginning, and so we should just try to chant. But as we chant, like anything you do in life, you try to perfect it. I mean, anything we do, like if you do business, you don't just do some business and then hope that it becomes successful. You have to understand all the aspects of it. And so we have to understand all the different aspects of serving Krishna as we progress and dedicate ourselves and understand this is the one thing the spiritual master of the spiritual master of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, in this age of Kali, this age of materialism, there are only two realities, the soul and the holy name of Krishna, two spiritual realities. If we focus on these two things, understanding that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and that Krishna has become accessible in the form of His holy name. And this is what Srila Prabhupada brought us, this treasure, Bhakti Yoga Dhan, this beautiful, wonderful treasure. And we have access to it, as Maharaj was saying, by hearing and chanting the holy name and taking advantage of the treasure house of transcendental literature that Srila Prabhupada painstakingly labored to give us that opportunity to deepen our faith and our understanding of this holy name of Krishna and this process of bhakti. So we should, anyway, this is just a very brief explanation. That science, to understand it fully, takes a lifetime. But if we cultivate Krishna consciousness with sincerity, and very quickly we start to, the whole purpose of these days that we've been together chanting is to get the taste, but then after getting the taste, then we have to cultivate it and cultivate it and cultivate it. Not that we come to the festival, now it's over, now back to the grind, back to my routine. But actually, this is my launching pad from which I will continue to progress more and more in Krishna consciousness. Those are just some thoughts on that science that Maharaj mentioned.
The nectar of devotion also explains that there's two ways of chanting. One is loudly in kirtan, and the other is softly in japa. Japa means like we have our chanting beads, japa mala. And so we chant one mantra on each bead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we have 108 beads, and if we go chant one mantra on each bead and go around one time, that is called a round. And that is also part of our spiritual development. And for devotees to be initiated, they must chant, and of course continue to chant, a minimum of 16 rounds per day. But you can begin from any number, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. And when you become steady in that number, then naturally you'll increase. It's sort of like exercise, you know, you may do so many repetitions, but as you get stronger, you can do more. So this is very important, and Srila Prabhupada has written of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the instruction to chant a minimum of 16 rounds daily is most essential. So along with kirtan, we have this process of japa. And you can do that by yourself. And of course, everything is supported when we have the association of devotees. But so that's a very important practice. We're entering the new year, so this would be a good practice to add. And if you're already doing it, maybe increase the number. His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami mentioned Srila Prabhupada's statement that, you know, one should chant like the genuine cry of a baby for its mother. From what I understand, and babies cry for different reasons. And the attentive parents can distinguish between different types of cries. Sometimes the baby might cry just because it wants attention, or it might cry because, you know, it's frustrated with something. Or it might cry because it's really in danger and really in need. His Holiness Niranjan Swami told the story of a child in the Boston Temple. His father was a pujari, like a priest who would be engaged in the worship, and, you know, the child would run around and play, and many of the devotees in the temple knew the child, and it was not a problem. And sometimes, you know, the boy would cry, and, you know, that's, you know, okay to cry. So one night, it started like that, the boy was crying, and, you know, nobody paid too much attention, and then the boy started to cry louder and louder and louder, like almost hysterically. And then everyone thought, oh, there's something seriously wrong, we have to find out. Everyone's attention went to that boy crying. And then eventually they found out that he had locked himself in the bathroom and he couldn't get out. And so he was really crying because he thought he could just be stuck there. But that also has another layer of significance, because as Srila Prabhupada said, this material world is like a steward's house. We should just do our business and get out. So when we have that understanding, we can really cry out, for Krishna. And, you know, I mentioned, of course, this is a little different, but how people can chant with different moods. We can tell that ourselves, you know. Like, I don't know how many of you have been to Vrindavan in India. But there's a market in Vrindavan called Loy Bazaar. And in Loy Bazaar there are many shops, and they sell all sorts of things. And they, you know, they're businessmen, merchants, and they know that the people who come to Vrindavan are sort of pious and devotional. And so they, you know, they gear their sales approach to that audience. and they've been, you know, it's like it's still a village. And so, you know, it's all open doors, and you know, they'll see some devotees. Hare Krishna, Prabhu! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! Come, Prabhu! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! So he's chanting Hare Krishna. But what's his mood? Is he calling out to the Lord? Please engage me in your service? No, we Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We know what he said. He said, come to my shop. Spend your money. Let me become rich. So, you know, even we limited living entities, we can distinguish the quality of a cry or the quality of a chant. You know, so genuine cry of a child for its mother, that's what we require. And of course, chanting for a material purpose, that is offensive. But there is another category of chanting in which the person chants unknowingly, and that's beneficial, even if they chant unknowingly in the beginning. Like sometimes Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself in the guise of a devotee, sometimes children would chant to sort of taunt him. And he would say, oh, don't say that, don't say that. So of course that would encourage them. They're being successful in taunting him, so then they would chant even more and louder. So that's not that's just sort of innocent chanting. And at one stage in India, a movie came out called Hari Ram, Hari Krishna. And the theme of the movie, anyway, I don't know, let's detail it. Get into about the movie. But anyway, I was in Madras. And I started hearing the song from the movie playing all the time. I mean, it was like on everyone's radio. And I don't know if it's changed, but back then, people used to play their radios very loudly. And one Srila Prabhupada remarked that they want everyone to know that they have a radio. So I kept hearing this song, and you know, one pious gentleman, and you know, invited us for lunch. So I was hearing it so much. I said, "What is this song?" You know, I kept hearing this "Dum Mada Dum," Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So he said, it means with every breath that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. I thought, wow, that sounds pretty good. But later I found out, maybe he was being polite or something. What the real translation is, with every puff that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And it was about basically hippies who were puffing hashish and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So, and it really, it was directed at Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. From Madras I went to Calcutta, and the film was playing in quite a upmarket area. So I thought, well, this is good, we'll go to the theater and we'll do Harinam Sankirtana in front of the theater and we'll distribute books. And it was actually quite successful. So then, when it was time for the last show, I thought, let me sneak in, let me just see what this is. It was very impressive, it was like a big theater and very loud amplification of the sound and the images on a huge screen. And it begins, I believe waves of the ocean coming in, and the narrator with his very sonorous voice is saying, for centuries India's spiritual culture remained, within the shores of India. But one man, and then it flashed to a picture of Srila Prabhupada, he took this outside of India. And then it showed a map with an arrow like up. Prabhupada left India. And then it flashed on London Rath Yatra. It was like so impressive, this huge chariot on the screen and kirtan, and you're like, wow, this is fantastic. And then it flashed on hippies smoking hashish or marijuana and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then I walked out. and so that was the idea, that it was directly aimed at Prabhupada and ISKCON, that hippies are coming and they're doing all nonsense, taking drugs, having free sex, and chanting Hare Krishna. It was really meant to make us look bad. But Srila Prabhupada said, in the long run it will help us, because eventually people will forget the Dhammara Dham and they'll just remember the Hare Krishna and Hare Ram. And actually it came to pass, because then from Calcutta I came to Bombay, and then I was based in Bombay. And so at first when we would go out, all the little like street urchins, street children, they'd come up and they'd go like this, like they were smoking a pipe, and they would, try to taunt us, Dhammara Dham. And that was it. It was quite hellish in a way. But then after 6 months, 9 months, it sort of changed. I mean, they'd still come up and taunt us, Dhammara Dham, but then there'd be more of the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And then, after another 6 or 9 months, the Dhammara Dham part completely dropped out, and they would just see us and they'd say, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, just like Prabhupada predicted. Because he knew the Dhammara Dham was a mundane sound vibration and people would get tired of it. But that Hare Krishna, Hare Ram was spiritual and they'd never get tired of it. So it's really spiritual sound, and it's Krishna, brought in Krishna. And so we can chant and chant and chant. A magazine cartoon, and a man and a woman were sitting next to each other, and the woman was saying, chant, 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 And the husband was saying, can't. And it was very funny, as Prabhupada would refer to it. But it really, it's like with the same effort that he was saying, can't, he could have chanted. But that sort of a symptom of the times or of the sort of rebellious nature of the conditioned soul, it won't chant Krishna's name. It doesn't take any effort. In fact, it takes more effort to resist. But because of that sort of causeless aversion, you know, can't. So, but if we can induce people to chant, even sort of unknowingly, they will get benefit. And of course, if we can attract them to our festivals and they chant, you know, with pure devotees and with information about what the holy name is and how to chant, and of course, that's even better. I have to add one thing. Okay? As much as you know. That later I found out that they had filmed the London Ratiyatra as part of the movie Hare Ram Hare Krishna. So later I found out that they had gone to some park in London where hippies would like hang out, and they would actually sleep in the park at night. And so the producers of the film offered these hippies that if they played the part of hippies in this movie, of course they didn't have like real speaking parts, they paid them so much money, which was like a big thing for them because they didn't have money or weren't saving money. And years later, I met a devotee in India. He was, British or American. We were talking about how he came to Krishna consciousness. He was a hippie who was sleeping in that park. And when the producers came to recruit hippies to play in the movie, he was one of the ones who got recruited. And he became a devotee. So, yeah, that's you can be any sinful person before you begin to chant, but by chanting you give up your sinful activity. I just want to
if you want to do the action.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you want to say something, you can open it up. No, I'm
just open to the ocean.
So Holiness Guru Prasad Swami has pointed out that it's 7:30. And so we can open up the floor to questions or comments and then move on to the next activity. Are there any questions or comments?
Question
is
that,
is it
offensive to chant when
kirtan
is going on? So most of the time to catch up my chanting, but the chant here on our beach, while kirtan is going on. Should I
while you're in the kirtan?
Sit here and chant, and go outside.
Well, the first principle of chanting is hearing. So are you able to chant your rounds in the kirtan and hear your chanting of your rounds? Then, if the answer is no, I would suggest you find some place to chant where you can hear your chanting. Any other? That was a good question.
I have a short question, Maharaj. So I think one of the 10 offenses is you should not describe the glories of the holy name to a faithless person, right? But when we are preaching or when we are talking to someone about chanting, but that person may or may not have the faith or the faith tradition. So how do we reconcile that? Like, how do we tell them about the holy name and also avoid that offense of, you know,
well, we always have to judge our audience. I mean, even any interaction, you judge your audience. And you can tell them to chant, and, you know, they'll feel happy, or they'll feel peaceful. You can tell them that. That's not preaching the glories exactly. Preaching the glories is like, you know, the holy name of Krishna is Krishna, and yeah, it really depends how receptive they are. But there was one conversation when Srila Prabhupada was in Sweden, and he was speaking with a professor, and one of the disciples was like speaking about the glories of the holy name, and the professor was not ready to hear that. We really need to begin with, you know, you're not the body. That doesn't require faith in the scriptures. That can be established by logic and reason, that you're not the body. But to really appreciate the glories of the holy name, you have to have faith in the scriptures, or in the person who's speaking on the basis of the scripture, which comes in the So Prabhupada interrupted that disciple and said, you know, that's an offense here. So, within the last few days, I told the story of when I was flying to Kashmir with my father, and you know, we had the book Easy Journey to Other Planets, in which Prabhupada presents the philosophy in sort of scientific language. So I thought, okay, well, I'll try to preach to my father on the basis of Easy Journey to Other Planets. And, you know, when he heard me talk about, like, by yoga, you can fly to different planets, and I could just see from his face that it's sort of like, you know, son, I thought you were crazy, but this is more than I even imagined. But he didn't say it, but I could just see it on his face, and I realized this is an offense. It's like preaching to someone who doesn't have faith. Preaching in a way that requires the person to have faith. Like I said, you know, you're not the body and things like that. They don't have to have faith in the scripture to hear that. So we do need to, chant and you feel peaceful. You'll George Harrison chant. You know, you want them to chant. But if we say too much too soon, it will like create doubts and they'll make think we're an illusion or, you know, we've been brainwashed or something like that. So I think that's what, with anything, you need to sort of judge your audience and how much you can say, how much they're ready to hear.
Well, there was one conversation with Srila Prabhupada with the professor. And the professor asked Srila Prabhupada, can you explain the esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna? He was, you know, an Indologist. And Srila Prabhupada said, who are you? The one professor was alone. And then Prabhupada said, no, who are you? He thought maybe he doesn't understand my English, you know, all of you in this branch, but anyway. So he said, "My professor, but really what I really want to know is about Radha and Krishna." And Prabhupada said, we're not speaking about Radha and Krishna. No? I want to know, who are you?" The professor was dumbfounded. And then Prabhupada said, "You are not this body. First you understand this one. Then we will speak about our language." So Prabhupada illustrated this, that sometimes also people think they know something about Krishna, but they have no faith in Krishna. It's just information. It's just, you know, something that they've read about or taught or in an academic way. But faith means that people actually have experienced something in relation to Krishna that touches their heart, that brings out some feeling. And until that's there, then as Maharaj says so eloquently, we just speak about the body. You know, first they understand this. And even if we practice Krishna consciousness for 15 or 20 years, we can theoretically understand that that's his body. But until we live on that platform, you actually accept that I'm not the body, meaning that Krishna becomes my priority in life, then we still haven't really understood. One time a professor here in Dallas asked me, that was many years ago, he said, why does your Prabhupada say so many times, "Not this body, not this body, not this body"? And he was smoking a cigarette. His hand was shaking. And I said, "You know, you haven't even realized that you know, this is detrimental to your health." And he looked at his hand shaking. "Yeah, maybe you're right. Now I understand."
Maharaj, I wanted to know your thoughts on there was a petition that I saw online about this new movie that's coming out. It's X-Men or something, and it's the main villain kind of says something like, "I'm Krishna, I am Ra and Yahweh," and some of the devotees have been upset by it and kind of launching a petition. I just wanted to know if Prabhupada had some kind of thoughts on the negative portrayal of our community in Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, and whether we should be encouraged to take some efforts to kind of correct it, or is it just a wasteful effort?
Well, first of all, what is X-Men?
I haven't seen any of the series, so I don't know. It's somebody else. Yeah, it's a superhero.
Oh, super.
It's an apocalypse.
It's a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's a
comic book.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and then who's... No. So the villain is saying, "I'm Rama, I'm Krishna." I'm
yeah, the bad guy, and he's like, "I'm Yahweh, I'm Ra, I'm Krishna, and I'm here to destroy," or something like that. I don't know what you mean. But some devotees have been upset, and they've launched a petition to the directors to change that.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Because if, I mean, that is demonic, to say that you're Ram or Krishna or God. So in that way, if it's portrayed that he's like a demon, and he, because of that false conception that he's God, he gets destroyed by the heroes, I think that's okay.
Has anyone seen it? Or maybe they're a little shy.
This is Mukunda Das. He's like a professional filmmaker. He even made a film with Paul Walker.
Well, what happened to him? Does he realize his mistake?
I've just seen the trailer because it's not out yet, but it is what Maharaj said. He's portrayed as the villain who has a god complex, and he says, "I came as Krishna, etc., etc." But it's not, he's a crazy person, so yeah, it's not a problem for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just been a lot of devotees who are upset and they've launched their petitions, so I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
Srila Prabhupada said, you know, if they say the name of Krishna, you know, I mean, unless it's just totally off, but if it's like you say, you know, that he's a crazy man, he's saying, "I'm God," And they say the name Krishna, then it's beneficial. People will hear the name Krishna. As Maharaj just said, you know, all the other, the X-Men part will go away. So, their person will stay in their consciousness.
I'm just going to see if I can find something here. If I can find it, it'll be better. Otherwise, I'll paraphrase it.
So, Maharaj, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, did he actually chant the beads or did he focus more on Kirtan, or was that both that he preached at the time?
Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself chanted our beads, therefore we must chant our beads. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would use a rope with knots in it. But the principle is that you should chant, you should count your chanting. Because even the Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, he chanted 300,000 names daily. So, in order to chant 300,000 names, you have to count them. Because I have met people who say, well, I chant, you know, I chant all the time. I probably chant more than 16 rounds. Who knows how many I chant? And then I said, well, maybe you should know. That may help. So yes, chanting on beads was recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He probably emphasized that. And also, it's not only just for counting, but you engage the sense of touch. And of course, if you have Tulsi bead, you're touching Tulsi Devi, so you get the benefit of the spiritual purity of Krishna's most blessed plant devotee. And you engage your sense of touch, you engage your tongue, you engage your ear. Just like if you only chant, you don't hear, then it's like, If I have a pen and I try to stand it up and keep it standing, very difficult. One point. And even with 2 points, it's very difficult. But if you have 3 points, you have a tripod, then it's very stable. So by engaging the touch, the hearing, and the chanting, then you have engage more senses and the chanting process becomes more potent.
Find it? No, it's not there. But I'll paraphrase it. So in April, the devotees headed by Anuta Prabhu and a devotee scholar named Radhika Raman, and I think one other. They're organizing a program for academics in Boston, to celebrate 50 years of ISKCON. And, that part I actually do have, but. And so they're going to have several days and very good topics, and then they're going to collect the talks of all the scholars and publish it in a book. And, it will be, I believe it will be held in a hall at Harvard University. But the first day, like the inauguration, is going to be held in a small hall where Srila Prabhupada spoke at the Harvard Divinity School. It was 1969, so you can do the math. And I happened to be at that program. So at the program, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke. And then afterwards, these students, he asked for, they shot up. And so like one of them said, you're saying that by chanting Hare Krishna, all problems can be solved, but in Russia there was a movement where people were chanting the name of Jesus, and it didn't really help the people. What really helped was when there was a revolution. So what we really need is social action. So Srila Prabhupada replied, well, the people in Russia now, are they happy? And the boy, well, no. And then Prabhupada said, then what was the use of this revolution? And then he said, even if it gets better for a while, it will get worse again. So then another boy, hand shot up, and, you know, you're saying we should chant Hare Krishna, but couldn't you just as well chant 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, just chant numbers and repeat them, and it would have the same effect. And Srila Prabhupada said, of course, that is not possible, but you can try counting, and when you get tired of counting, you can try chanting. And then another one asked, are you truly happy? And Srila Prabhupada said, if I tell you falsely that I'm truly happy, will you believe me? And the boy said, no, I won't. And he said, well, then what's the use of asking the question? So like one after the other, he was really, you know, without missing a beat, he was just replying to all these challenging questions from these bright students. So afterwards, I was sort of like mingling amongst the students, just listening to their talk. And then suddenly, one of the lady devotees, Jadarani, came running up and sort of affectionately imitating Srila Prabhupada's accent. She said, so, where is the driver? And I said, oh my God, I drove Srila Prabhupada. The temple didn't have a car, and I had a car, so I was just coming for a couple of days, but I started to drive Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. So we got in the car, and I had come, I was able to find the place all right during the daylight, but now it was dark, and I really didn't have a clear idea of how to get back to the temple. It was a storefront and a rented apartment for Srila Prabhupada across the street. So anyway, I figured out, so I was, you know, trying to go, as I thought, would bring us closer, and I got the sinking feeling that we were really lost. So, you know, I asked the devotees, you know, does anyone know how to get back to the temple? No one knew. And Prabhupada, I was in the front seat, and Prabhupada was next to me, and Prabhupada said, is not the driver supposed to know the way? So, I mean, I didn't know, like, I was a driver, and that I had duties, and I just thought I was, you know, being a good guy. So, oh my gosh. So then when we got to the temple, or we got to Prabhupada's apartment, and I got out and I opened the door and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so sorry, you know, that I got us lost. And he just thought, smiled with so much love and compassion, and he said, that's all right. And I'd seen how he had like demolished all these students. And I knew if he wanted, he could have like totally destroyed me in a moment. But I saw, even though he could, but he was, but you know, he's like kind and compassionate, and you know, was just trying to encourage me to improve. So I was already convinced, but it made me even more convinced that, you know, he was the perfect master that I was looking for. So Anuttama Prabhu asked if I had been at that program, and you know, what what I recall of it. So I sent him a, you know, a little piece, sort of based on something I'd written earlier about that program. And then he said that he and his wife, Rukmini, had met a Muslim professor at Harvard who was a student at that, present at that lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave. And he said that even though he's Muslim, but whenever he's really in difficulty, you know, in facing some sort of crisis, he doesn't think of the Quran or Allah. He thinks of Srila Prabhupada. And when he tells the story, like how he thinks of Srila Prabhupada in his, you know, worst moments, if you were, most critical times, he becomes so choked up and tears come to his eyes and he can't even speak. And so, you know, Anuttama was saying, like, that was the effect of Prabhupada's talk there. He never would have expected it. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada was really so pure and potent and kind and compassionate and intelligent and witty and everything good like Krishna. It's Krishna's imposter and senator. So, all right. What's next?
What is the question?
Oh, there's another question? Or?
Yeah, I think there's one question.
Oh! Shri Arjuna.
Maharaj, in the past 10 years, it's become a more common tool and practice amongst the initiated and non-initiated devotees alike to use clickers to chant their rounds. And I've seen some devotees do it as bona fide as possible, even part of a job of me, and who that the clickers are touching, as it might be. And I've heard some devotees have agitation about it, and I've heard other devotees say, well, we're chanting our japa, so let us chant our japa and don't be worried of getting the holy name. Is there any understanding we should have about these, both for ourselves and how we should view others who are using these clickers?
Just like Maharaj said before, everything depends on the motive. Otherwise, there's so many using that because they have to chant in some place where circumstances that chanting on these would be impractical. But if they're using it because I chant while I'm driving, you know, which is nice to chant while you're driving, but not your, you know, it's nice to chant while you're doing anything, but that shouldn't be counted as my dedicated japa. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada did mention that we should chant our beads, and that was his preference. The question was just asked, Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya chanted on beads. So what's good for Lord Chaitanya and what's good for Srila Prabhupada should be good for us. But there's some real reason. But the reason is, you know, that I want to drive, I'm driving, or, you know, while I'm talking to people that I can just keep on, you know, I don't worry about losing my place. And that's not the best motive. That's how I understand. I mean, there may be many different feelings about that.
I mean, in general, it is better to chant on japa mala, Tulsi beads. When Srila Prabhupada was taking a train back from Amritsar to Bombay, so he let a small group of us off in Delhi to, as he said, see what you can do. And then he sent us a list of people who he knew from before he went to America. He said, you know, we can approach them and try to make them like numbers. So there was one man who's quite wealthy. I mean, it was like a big estate and a lot of property. But he was, you know, sort of proud and like an impersonalist. So, you know, he would say that Swamiji was Bhakti and I was Vedanta. Like, you know, they're on the same level. And then he's just talking, and he said, you know, I one thing I can say about him is that whenever I would be speaking to him about philosophy, he'd have his hand in his beach hat, and he'd always do it. So, I mean, yes, for our basic quota, but there could be times when... when someone speaks nonsense and you can't really contradict them, so it's... Oh, yes.
I'm not sure, but I think I read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is Sri Krishna using beads when he's counting his cows?
Yes, he does. Yes, that's very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mentioned the chanting is like watering the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Just from an example of like the color of water, we can actually chant the Hare Krishna name in any kind of lyrics. It's like water has no color. Hippies, talking about hippies, right? They actually chant like rocks. So when I chant Hare Krishna, there's a difference when I chant as rock, loud music, or jazz. Slow pace.
No, the main thing is to hear. So if you're hearing the holy name, that's the main thing. I mean, there may be music to support it, or, you know, maybe fast or slow. But the main thing is to hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. So thank you for patiently and intelligently listening, and now we'll continue this program. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki jai.
Sarvabhakta Vinayaki. Jai. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.